My name is Liz Lover, and this podcast is called The Analysis of the Social Influence of Drug Use. How has this social influence of drug use become such an epidemic? What are the positives and negatives? This can be used for stress relief, the sense of rebelling, lifestyle appeal, and from school and peers. This is known as the social lubricants. People are willing to explore substances to be socially accepted, or so they believe. During this podcast, I will discuss the signs, symptoms, and possible treatments. Starting off, have you ever engaged in a drug as a social lubricant? If so, how often? When does this become too often? Well, you're not the first. People will take part in drug use for lots of reasons. Curiosity, the sense of relaxing, to fit in, to go to sleep, social or emotional pain, and life problems. When do these become a problem? People may find that drug use has overtaken their lives when they begin taking prescriptions in doses that are not prescribed, other people's prescription medicines, and taking prescriptions just for the effects. Opioids in 1895 were as big as they are now. Back then, things like morphine had led to addiction to roughly 1 in 200 Americans, generally upper and middle class American white women. The Civil War played a role in the uproar of Americans' opiate epidemic. The Union Army issued 2.8 million ounces of opium powder and close to 10 million pills to soldiers. Then, the doctor's opium was known to cure little, but to relieve anything. This overuse of opium was common in doctors just as much as patients. How can opioids affect the human body? These opioids can affect the human body by clinging to the receptors that are known as the feel-good receptors. They block pain signals, they are sent from the brain to the body, and releasing large amount of dopamine throughout the body. This feeling can give someone the experience that they will want to enjoy over and over again. Some negative side effects include drowsiness, confusion, nausea, constipation, and slow breathing. Also, euphoria, which is extreme happiness. If one has slowed breathing, this can mean less oxygen to the brain, causing a coma, permanent brain damage, or even death. The biggest positive that I found was that chronic pain can now be functionable for people. People with non-malicious chronic pain are more likely to improve symptoms and gain independence. Who is most at risk for misuse of opioid medications or abuse? Our elderly or older adults are most at risk because the chronic disease increases at old age, and opioids can help maintain their independence and eliminate the chronic pain. When it's time for someone to recover, it isn't as easy as a snap of a finger. There are many steps that need taken. Someone taking these steps will need constant support. These steps include: Step 1, decide to make a change. Step 2, explore your treatment options. Step 3, find support. Step 4, make sobriety last. Once a person follows through with all these steps, the key thing is to know to be there for them. Don't push them to what you think needs to happen. Support by the whole family is beneficial, especially in the first year of recovery. Maybe start some fun sober routine activities, such as bike riding, exercising, or just leisure activities. Make it a goal to reduce stress, such as family conflicts, finances, and relationships. Ways to improve the future from our drug-taking culture is to create more safe drop-offs for unneeded opioids. Lock up your prescriptions that you are not being used. Do not take others' prescriptions that are not intended for your consumption by your prescriber. By following these steps and knowing the signs and symptoms, I believe we can significantly decrease the opioid epidemic that we are currently facing today.